Whether I'm worried about hosting or just giving that perfect gift, creating a delicious holiday for my loved ones is super important to me. From effortless holiday hostings to unforgettable gifts, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. They've always been super convenient in giving me the most high-quality steaks I could ask for, whether for myself or a loved one. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
So I was at the Dunkin' Donuts line a couple days ago, and I was near my house, which is it's a rundown area, like that Dunkin' Donuts that's at, and the car that was in front of me was like this really nice Beamer, and this very well dressed man was you know just hanging his arm out the window, and you know it was a wealthier man, and at first I was like, what are you doing here, buddy? Like, wrong side of town, you know? But he was talking a little loud, and I had my window down too, so I was like hearing, you know, I like eavesdropping on what other people like to order, you know? And he ordered like a sausage, egg muffin, English muffin, something. And the woman was saying that they're out of English muffins. And the guy got so mad. He was like, this is Dunkin' Donuts. Like, I'm like speaking this, but like he was kind of pissed. Like he was like, what are you talking about? Like, what do you guys mean? Blah blah. They're so like, oh, like we have like alternatives. We could do like a croissant, or we could do a bagel. And they were Bangladeshi. Like they were brown. Like you can hear it in their voice. Mm-hmm. And he got so pissed. And this man like, oh, like never mind. I don't want it anymore. Blah blah blah. And then he just like skirted off. And like he. Like, again, like, he was being very rude. Like, I'm not able to, like, resemble what he was saying. But, like, he was just being a dickhead. And he just skirted off. And, like, it got me thinking. And, like, I think about this all the time. It's like, No, like, even before this happened. Like, because I've worked in the service industry for years. Mm-hmm. And it's like, why do people get so mad with just the employee? You know, it's like
they're the ones
like they like like literally like if I worked at like when I worked at Aeropostale and we didn't have like a size like a medium left in the certain t-shirt, like it's my fault. It's like, why don't you go make it right now?
Why don't you have a medium?
Like, go get it. You work here. I'm 16 years old. Like, what am I supposed to do?
Go to the Aeropostale warehouse right now and get it.
So it's like yo, like if you go to like a coffee shop and you're specific order is just out of stock, don't be a dick, you know? Like the mm-hmm. the people behind the cash register, like they just don't do that to them. They got nothing to do
and
with
I don't
them.
Even understand it. Even if you're having a bad day, there's no reason for
and I guess that's what it was, and I don't know, maybe woke up on the wrong side of bed, you know? But yeah, that just got me pissed that. And so I was just a little extra nice. I got me mad, because, I understand, like, you know, they probably, like, the cashier, like, didn't get, like, their feelings hurt, but they were like, man, like, you know, nobody wants that kind of interaction with them.
Yeah, they're not getting paid enough for that.
Especially, you know, just, like, regular service people. So, if you're listening to this, this is your friendly reminder, be a little extra nice to, like, you know, your next cashier that you go to. Just ask them how their day is, ask them about their name. All that jazz, it means a lot, you know. That's all I got.
So I recently turned 23.
You did. Happy birthday. Everybody say happy birthday to
you. Okay, continue. Alright. I'm not gonna lie, it was not the best week for me. I did not have the best birthday. Yeah. But something that did make me feel better the other day, it really warmed my heart when I saw this. I actually had tears in my eyes. A student from my fourth grade class who I thought forgot about me, you know, after summer started, they don't really talk to their teachers anymore. And I was really just a student teacher, so they saw me twice a week.
I mean, I don't think, like, the listeners like know about, you know, the field work you did last semester? You want to sum that up real quick?
Yeah. So I did field work last semester for my graduate program because I'm doing childhood education. And I was in a fourth grade classroom twice a week. I was really in person from April to June, just because that's when schools opened up in New York here. So I had this one student that I really, really liked. He had anxiety. He opened up to me about it. But I thought, you know, he forgot about me after the summer started. And I remember the day I left, I had to leave a week before school ended just because I had a trip to go on. He was like, oh my god, I'm going to email you for your birthday. I'm going to save it in my Gmail by sending you an email on the 14th.
That's so cute.
So I can remind myself. And I genuinely thought he forgot. But, you know, I always kept checking my email to see if he would email me. And then I checked my email and he wrote, happy birthday, Miss Khan. I hope to see you again in fifth grade.
That's so cute.
And that made me so sad and happy at the same time.
I hope you get to see him again. That's mad cute.
I hope that he grows up to be a good
boy.
He
will. Like, we all have those teachers that we just, like, literally to this day, my favorite teacher is my first grade teacher. And, like, she's yeah, someone who I'll never forget. And, you know, you're going to be that teacher for him. He's going to love you forever.
Yeah, it's crazy.
He's going to love you forever.
I feel like he's never had a brown teacher that, you know, looked like him. So I think it was a big, big deal for a teacher to actually, like, connect with him beyond just school.
For sure.
But, yeah, that really made my day, that small thing. It really made everything a little bit better in the past week. So recently, I turned 23 on August 14, and it is a very big age. I feel like I've learned a lot of things, and I recently made a video on my YouTube channel, Mahua Khan, if you want to subscribe, you know. And I made a video of all the things that I've learned over the past few years, and I feel like I have a lot of wisdom to share, and I know Mashun has a lot of wisdom to share too. So we just want to dedicate this episode to all of the things that we've learned, and we hope that you are able to learn and grow with us and hear us out.
Mm-hmm.
This man is turning 23 in a week now.
Yeah, from the time, I mean, I don't know when you're listening to this, but my birthday is on the 28th. From this recording, it's like a week and a half out. But Mo just turned 23 a couple of days. Clap it up.
Right.
23.
Mashun and I are 2 weeks exactly apart. We were both born on Fridays. I am 2 weeks older than him.
All right.
As I always mention. Yeah, I don't really feel too different. I just think 23 is a really big age because it's like closer to 25 than 20 now. And it's closer to more of an adulthood. Like, yeah, you turn into an adult at 18. And that's true. But I think it's more hitting at this time. Like now there's like no summer vacation, it's always just working. And that's been applicable since freaking age 15. Like I've always been working. Mm-hmm. But like now it's like the real world shit, you know. There's no more like going around all the real life adult shit that we were so excited about when we were younger.
So are you excited to turn 23? Do you feel like You're finally old at this point? Are you scared now that you're 23? How you feeling? It's been a couple days. Have you thought about it?
It's been a couple of days. I'm kind of more excited about getting older just because I know that there's better things coming for me. Mm. Like, I know I've accomplished a lot in the past year and a few years, but I know that better days are coming as I age and as time goes on. So I am hopeful that even if things get harder with my, you know, responsibilities and all the duties that I have to do now that I'm older, like with bills and cooking and whatever it is, I feel like I will be wiser and stronger and better now that I'm older, or now that I'm getting older.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like this is the age where it's just like it's rapid growth, you know, like your early 20s, it's like you're just growing at an exponential rate. And yeah, I mean, for me, ever since I was like, I don't know, like I've always loved Jordan. Like I never saw Jordan play or anything. Like I grew up with watching like Kobe and LeBron, but I used to always just watch Jordan playbacks on YouTube when I was younger. And 23 has just always been that age for me, like, where I told myself, like, damn, I need to be doing something by the time I'm 23. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. Like, nobody told me that I had to do that. It's just a personal thing.
And like, I feel like 23 isn't even, like, an old age to start something. It's not. You know? It's pretty young. Like, we're still in our early 20s, technically. A lot of people don't even know what they're doing with their lives. And the fact that we feel like time is running out when we're still so young is crazy.
I don't think it's not a matter of, like, damn, I'm getting old. It's just, like, I don't know. It's just a benchmark that I've set for myself for, like, a long time. And I don't know. I think it's a little unhealthy to set benchmarks and goals based upon your age, you know? But for my 23rd birthday, I'm literally going to do nothing. I'm going to spend it with my mom. I'll make some Mughlai Porotta and go pick some mangoes and just chill out. Because I don't know, like, I don't like my birthday. Like, just to get that out of the way. Like, I don't like my birthday. I've never cared about birthdays. I think, like, that comes from, like, just everybody that I grew up with. Like, nobody really cared about birthdays like that. And, like, my family never really did or anything. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, for this year, man, like, I'm just scared. I really am.
Why are you scared?
I don't know, because I think something that I tell myself all the time is, like, in the back of my head is, like, yo, like, you can be doing so much more with your time. Even though, even if, like, the reality is I'm doing the most I possibly can,
right.
I've just always had the thought that, like, yo, you could do more. And 23 is just that thing for me, man. Like, I didn't care about 22. When I turned 21, I was excited, right? Like, I was excited, like, yo, like, I'm finally growing up. And now 23 is like, I gotta be doing something. And I feel like I am, you know, like, a quick life update, right? I got a promotion at my job.
Woo-hoo.
It's locked. I was the one person out of 12 people that they moved forward in the interviewing process.
And yeah, I got the that youngest person to be getting this position person, without a bachelor's degree.
I really am.
It's
and crazy.
And you're also the only person that they moved forward in internally in the company.
Yeah. It is a pretty big deal. I think it just hasn't really hit me yet. That happened. I put in the first sample order of my book. They shipped out.
Let's
I should be getting
clap for him now. Hoot, 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 hoot.
I should be getting it sometime. I don't know, but I don't know if it's the end of this week, maybe early next week or something. But I feel like I'm doing all right. I would have been sad if I didn't have my book finished by now, but I have it done. Hopefully my sample orders are good. But yeah, all in all, 23 has always been pretty scary for me, but I think I'll be all right. You know, I think I'll be okay, because I think I've proven to myself that I'm doing something, and I'm far ahead of where I was the day I turned 22, you know?
I feel like you had all these goals for when you turned 22, what you wanted to complete by 23, and it's crazy that it's actually happened, and you were, you know, scrambling around and freaking out that it wouldn't, and things just ended up working out.
Man, I've had like 6 different like due dates for this book. Like, literally my first due date was the end of last year and I finished 9 months later.
At least you did it before your birthday.
At least I did it.
But it's crazy how you don't really take your birthday into account like that, because if you guys know me, I celebrate my birthday hard. I usually
she goes off
3, 4, 5 events off for my birthday. I have a birthday month, a birthday week.
Yeah, you have a birthday year.
But honestly, as I'm growing older now, I don't really put that much weight on my birthday as much anymore. I just feel like, I don't know, I recently have been in this phase where I'm kind of just like outgrowing people. And I think that comes with age. I think as you grow older, you just realize who your real friends are. Like, I have a very good, what's the freaking word for it? Like,
intuition.
Yeah, intuition. I have a really good intuition with that. And I know, like, you know, what friends will leave eventually. I know who will hurt who in my friends' relationships. Like, I have a very good intuition. But I think now I'm in this part in my life where I feel like I'm outgrowing people that I've grown up with, just because, first of all, I'm tired of celebrating my own successes on my own. Like, mm-hmm. I wish I had friends that would actually cheer me on instead of me kind of bringing it up, you know? I wish mm-hmm. it was more like that. And I wish that people would see my current growth instead of seeing me as my old version. So I've had this really big problem recently where I feel like I'm still being seen as my high school self, and I really hate that because I hated my high school self. Like, what you guys know of me right now, my high school self was completely the opposite. Like, she was very quiet, she was not outspoken, she let everyone walk over her, she didn't really fit in with any crowd, she was also kind of rebellious just because, like, she was sad. And there was just, like, a lot of upsetting things about her that I don't like now. Like, I wish I could give her a hug. And because of that, I just feel very little when I think of her and being in that position again. And I don't like the fact that when I'm with some friends, I still feel like that version when I'm not anymore. You know, I've grown so much over the past 6-7 years, and it's really a disservice to still feel like that. And I don't think you should ever hang out with people that still make you feel little and insignificant, even if they're not meaning to, you know.
But so. have you ever, like, I mean, like, I don't know the answer to this, but, like, have you had a, like, sat them down? Because, I mean, before I ask you this question, like one of my childhood homies recently visited my place. I think I kind of spoke about this in the last episode. But he's someone who knew me when I was going through the same kind of shit that you were going to. Like, I was a dumb high school kid who didn't know anything, who thought he knew everything. Right. And, you know, he's the one that was like right there, like by my side, like doing shit with me. Mm-hmm. And, like, you have grown so much over like the last couple of years. And he came to my place, and, you know, because he's moving soon, he came to my place, and we had a really long conversation. And my whole point of talking to him was, like, I told him, like, yo, like, I feel a need to show you and to tell you and to express to you that I'm not who I was anymore. You know, I have grown so much. And, like, I showed him, like, he read, like, parts of my book. Like, I told him, he, like, I talked through a lot of my paintings with him. Like, I showed him that, you know, I'm not this dumb kid anymore. And hearing, like, the validation from him in that, because he's a little older than me. So I like, highly respect his judgment and his just, like, what he says to me. And I got that validation from him. Like, yo, like, I know that you've grown, like, tremendously, and I have so much respect for that. So I think, like, I ask you, like, have you had that conversation with your friends?
I think that I can already tell who would handle it well and who would get defensive about it. You know, I talked to my other close friend who, you know, those friends that you don't really have to talk to every single day, but you're still very close when mm-hmm. you do end up talking. I talked to her, and she told me that it might be better if you talk to them individually. That way, you know, they don't gang up on you and they don't try to make you feel small by, you know, having 3 people against 1 or 4 people, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like I shouldn't have to have this conversation. I mean, I do want to. I want to communicate my feelings, but I also don't want to kind of get my feelings negated. Like, I don't want to feel stupid for bringing it up and feeling, like, gaslighted. Obviously, I'm not going to know how it's going to play out until I actually do it. But I guess I'm just at that point where I feel kind of over it. And I don't want to bring it up again. And I think it's fine to outgrow people. I think people are on different timelines, and there's different reasons for why people still act the same as if how they were years ago. But I feel like I should just kind of step away on my own terms and just move on and distance myself. I think right now my biggest thing is distance from pain and sadness and from everyone instead of to keep trying. But yeah, that's what I've learned recently. I just realized that the people that I cherish a lot, my best friends, you know, I don't mind when they call me funny, stupid things because, you know, they're joking at the end of the day. But when other people call me, people that I'm not really close to anymore, they say the same things. There's just more truth behind it. Mm, and I just feel more hurt by it. So I really, at the end of the day, I think that what I'm trying to say is that it's okay to outgrow people. But I think the biggest thing for me is that you just have to distance yourself, because I also realize the friends that I don't talk to often, I'm a lot closer to them because it's just easier for them to see our growth, both of our growths, you know. And that's not saying that these friends that I'm outgrowing are bad people. They are very good. They're a very big part of my lives. But I just think that I'm at a point where I want to step away to grow and to heal.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, like stepping away, you get a broader view of mm-hmm. what it is that you were a part of, you know, like the closest friendships that I have now are people that I haven't talked to in a couple of years and we rekindled, you know. And yeah, I think that's very necessary. I think if you just go about it the right way, like you'll come out mm-hmm. okay, you know.
Yeah. So that was one of my first pieces of advice that I've learned over the past 2 years. Do you have anything that you want to share?
Oh man, I've learned way too much. I can make a whole freaking TV series, a whole freaking 8 seasons.
Another book coming out by him.
But I think for this, I got 2 points that I think have been really big for me. I think the first one, I'll tell a story behind. So one day I used to work at a coffee shop, kind of like 5 minutes away from downtown Orlando. This one night we closed at 7, so I was out by like 7:30. I was just closing alone, and this is like right when I turned 21, and right when I turned 21, I was going out to the bars every night. Like every night, I'll just pull up with my journal and my pen. I'll go to the same bar every single night, the Robinson downtown Orlando on Pine Street. If you know, you know. Now it's the hip spot. It's not cool anymore, right? But like, I'm gonna be that guy that's like, yeah, let's go in there first. Right. I'm not gonna lie.
Right.
Like I got the proof. I got literally my.
Right. No, we believe you.
The name of my book. You know. Did I tell you where I got the name of my book from?
No.
The name of my book is actually the drink that I used to order at the Robinson every single time I went. Because it was a $6 cocktail that they had on their happy hour. It was usually like $12. They had it for $6. Anyway, so I get out of work, right? I think it's a Friday night. And I'm like, all right, I'm excited. I'm going to go downtown. I got my journal. And I want to write, right? So I go downtown. I can't find any parking. I'm trying to find parking for like 30 minutes. And right now, like the happy hour is about to end. I'm not going to get my $6 drink anymore. So I'm like, yo, like at this point, I just want to go home. Like I tried looking for parking so much. Right. I just couldn't. So I get on the highway back home. I'm on the highway, right? Like I'm on my way home. And I don't know what it was. I just got like this sixth sense feeling in my gut, like, yo, like stay out tonight, right? Like go back outside, like don't go home, like not on some like, oh, like don't be home tonight, like, but it was just like a, yo, like go do something tonight, you know, go outside. And so I listened to my gut and I went to like this random coffee shop that I kind of go to sometimes. It's like it's open till like midnight. And it's called Stardust. So I just pulled up. Right now it's like 8:30, 9 o'clock. Like it's getting kind of late. So something was like, I don't know why I went to that coffee shop. But I was just like, yo, like let me just go there. So I go there. And I see this guy that is a regular at the old coffee shop that I used to go to. I haven't seen him in so long. blah, blah, blah. I see him. We start talking, and I have one of the most deep, memorable, influential conversations I've ever had in my life. And he told me, like, he basically, something that he was expressing to me is, like, don't wait too long, especially on things that are timed, you know? Don't wait too long on fixing that relationship that you're too prideful or too scared to fix.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take too long to start that business, because you might not have that same fuel a couple years down the line.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't wait too long. Like, and I tell myself this all the time, like, life is short, but like, life is also long, right? Like, I used to tell myself, like, oh, like, I'll get to that, right? Like, I just don't feel the need to right now. But I think something that he really made me understand is, like the things that are on your mind, take care of them. If there's like a old friend that you think about all the time that you just don't talk to anymore, just hit them up, right? If there's something that you're scared to do, but it's just always on your mind, just go for it, you know? And again, there was no reason for me to go to this coffee shop. But at the end of the day, like, me randomly going to this coffee shop, this, like, in this random part of town, gave me the most crucial piece of advice that I've ever been given. And I think with that experience as a whole, I've learned to, like, trust your intuition, right? Like, if there's something that is being told to you, it's being told to you, like, for a reason. Whether it be God, whether it be, like, just like your past life senses, just listen to what your heart is telling you, because it's telling you that for a reason, right?
Right.
So that's one point.
Yeah, I really like that advice. I feel like my biggest key to success is that I don't push things off, and when I'm thinking about it, I do it right away. Even if it's something small, like, oh, email back this one person, or go to this place to buy clothing materials for your clothing line, like, next month. So many people push it off. Oh, I'll do it tomorrow when I'm more free. Mm. I'll do it after work, like, whatever. But especially if it's something so small, just do it right when you think about it. I don't understand how people can just push things off, especially when it's so small, because that is a small form of procrastination. And things like that, it just never ends up happening, because you just keep pushing it off, because it's so tiny in your head, you're making that tiny thing, you know, like, you can just do it whenever you want since it's so tiny, but then you end up never doing it. So
whether I'm worried about hosting or just giving that perfect gift, creating a delicious holiday for my loved ones is super important to me. From effortless holiday hostings to unforgettable gifts, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. They've always been super convenient in giving me the most high-quality steaks I could ask for, whether for myself or a loved one. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
So
why are you attacking me like that?
One of my biggest things is just doing it. Yeah, Mashun is terrible with this. I don't know why he's saying this advice. He's so bad at this. He'll sometimes write down things he has to do on a post-it card, and he still won't do it. And then sometimes he'll, like, put reminders on his phone, and he still won't do it. I'll tell him 2 weeks later, did you do this thing? Oh, I had such a long 2 weeks at work.
No, but like you just said it. You just said it. Like, you don't understand why people push things off like that.
Yeah.
I don't understand why I push things off like that.
Right.
Like, I don't know why. Right? Right. The same way that you don't get it, I don't get it. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll push off anything.
I know. I know.
Like, even like my Brita filter for my water is empty right now. I pushed off refilling it for later. Like, why?
But you need water to drink.
I need water. It's not that hard.
I know for a fact you're gonna wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning so thirsty.
And like I'm gonna have to like refill the water. I'm gonna have to stand there just in agony for it to finish filtering.
Oh my god, he's one of those people. Whereas I'm literally the opposite.
Okay, but yeah. Mr. Perfect, Miss Perfect.
Mr. Perfect girl.
My second point is also something that I learned from the Robinson. Like, yo, this is my spot, bro. Like, I miss this spot. I used to go all the time. So I went to the Robinson one night with my sister. Something that, like, she told me that really stuck with me is, like, from like, the age of, like, 18 to 19, you take a big, like, exponential leap in maturity, in growth, mm-hmm. and all these kinds of things.
I had that, yep.
And then when you turn 19, you're like, damn, I'm grown. Like, I thought I was growing when I was 18. I'm grown now. And then you turn 20, and you're like, damn, I'm grown. Like, I'm actually grown now. Like, when I was 19, like, I thought up, but I'm actually grown now. And you turn 21, you're like, nah, like, now I'm at. So, like, you get what I'm saying? Like, I've learned that, like, you're never as grown as you think you are. Like, stay humble. There's always somebody that knows more than you. You can learn anything from absolutely anybody.
Yeah. Like, what was that thing? What was that thing that you said that your mom always kept saying, and now you realize it now that you've, like, moved out?
Like, you don't realize how much work goes into pre-cooking, the pre-cleaning, the prepping, the cleaning during, the cleaning while you're cooking, the cleaning afterward, the eating, putting stuff away, throwing stuff out. It's like, it's these things, and it's like, I'm sure, like, people who are listening who are moved out and living on their own, like, you get what I'm saying. But, like, the people who are, like, living with their parents right now still, like, bro, like, please understand, like, everything that you think is easy is, like, it's not. There's so much that goes into absolutely everything, right? Like, I watched a movie with my sister. We watched the Anthony Bourdain documentary. It was called Roadrunner. And I ordered these chicken tenders, right? And there were these buttermilk brine chicken tenders. And we see it all the time, like, oh, buttermilk chicken tenders. Like, that just sounds good. Like, buttermilk chicken sandwich, right? Like, you see that on the menu, you're like, oh, that sounds good.
Right.
But, like, you don't understand what the buttermilk does, right? So what the buttermilk does to the chicken tenders is, well, before, like,
no way this man is explaining buttermilk right now.
So buttermilk, to my understanding, like, in order to create, like, pasteurized butter, like, that is churned, like, churned butter, in the process, there's two forms that are produced through the churning process. And there's, like, the butter solid that is, you know, when you go buy butter from the grocery store, like, that's the butter solid. And then there's buttermilk, which is, like, the liquid form that's produced through the churning process. And the buttermilk, like, people don't drink buttermilk by itself because it's, like, highly acidic, like vinegar, right? Like, you don't drink vinegar by itself. Buttermilk is kind of in that same aspect. But buttermilk is used in the cooking process when it comes to chicken a lot, because what the acidity does to the strands of chicken breast, it's more so used in chicken breasts other than chicken thighs. What the acidity in the buttermilk does to the chicken breast. Why are you laughing? Let me finish. Why are you laughing so much? Let me finish. What the acidity does.
What is that talking about? I wish you guys could see his serious face right now. He's been talking about buttermilk.
It gets back to my
and
point.
Chicken breast. Listen, for the past it gets 5
back.
Minutes.
It gets back to my point. What the acidity in the buttermilk does, it is break down. It breaks down the proteins of the chicken breast, and it makes it a lot more tender. So, like, you know, when you go to cut chicken breast, right? And if you cut into it the wrong way, like, the strands are pulled apart, and it's, like, not as, like, easily eaten. Because, right. like, you didn't cut against, like, the grain or whatever.
Right, right.
Um, the buttermilk just breaks down the proteins and it makes it just a lot more tender, right? So everything I just told you, I just, like, if I didn't tell you that, like, I've eaten buttermilk chicken tenders before, but I didn't know what I was getting myself into. When, like, you go to, like, Red Lobster and shit and you order that, you're like, oh, that sounds fine. You taste your chicken tenders, fine. No, it's not. I'm done being goofy. Like, on, like, a serious tip, like, there's so much to everything.
Right.
Like, and now that you know that, go order, like, a buttermilk chicken sandwich with what I just told you. And just, like, bite into it and see how tender it is, right? See how it's so easy to bite into, how, like, juicy it is inside. Because that's what, like, the buttermilk does. So my whole point in this is, like, you, like, as much as you think you know, you don't, right? And I think if you keep that mindset into everything that you do, whether it be, like, understanding the scientific process of roasting coffee, right? Like, you go to Starbucks and you just order a black coffee.
That was a big one.
It's coffee.
I honestly, like, did not realize the art behind making coffee and how many, like, what you said, like, there's carbon dioxide, there's grams. You
look, listen, don't let me get into coffee right now. Like, I will take up another hour.
No, but it's crazy what you said, because, like, it's true. I've never given a shit about a coffee, and I still don't to that same extent as you do, but it's, like, now I actually care about it, whereas 6 months ago, I didn't even drink coffee, and I didn't understand the art behind it or anything.
Like you would think that, like, for example, light roast coffees have the least amount of caffeine compared to, like, dark roast coffees. You would think that, like, it's darker, it has more caffeine. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's how Starbucks and shit, like, that's how they advertise it. They're like, oh, like, dark roast, it's, you know, for the bolder people. It's actually the other way around. Actually, like, light roast coffees have the most amount of caffeine. It's mm-hmm. because, like, they're the most lightly roasted. They leave the natural aspects of the coffee bean as much intact as possible, because it's just been lightly roasted. You know, it's been lightly burned. And the dark roast coffees actually have the least amount of caffeine because they've been roasted the longest. They've lost all of those, like, natural aspects of the bean. So whatever. Getting back to my main point, you're always growing, right? You're always learning. You're always expanding your thoughts about everything, right? There's so mm-hmm. much more to every single thing in the world. And I think if you just live life remembering that you don't know anything, you're gonna end up learning so much more than you would have if you went into everything thinking that you already understood it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my point was to stay open-minded, but I think I just expanded upon the idea a little bit. But all in all, like, just stay humble, understand that you're always growing, and, like, you're never as grown as you think you are,
right?
Type shit. Yeah, I'm gonna stop talking. Next time you go have buttermilk chicken tenders, like, remember what I said, right? Like, remember what I, like, you'll get it. You'll get it.
I don't know why I still think about it. I went so hard into the buttermilk chicken tenders, but I'll let him rock. But anyways.
All right. Let's move on.
A second piece of advice that I've learned more recently, I've known this for the past few years, but I think it's been implemented more recently. I think that there is a correct amount of being patient with people. You know, a lot of people say, Mashun especially, he is the spokeswoman for this. He literally has patience tattooed on his leg, because he's so adamant on this.
My thigh.
Whenever I complain about anything, patience. I think that you should be patient with people, with things. If someone is not treating you right, if someone is not doing something the way that you want to, I think, yes, to an extent you should be patient, because people can change, and they can change their mentalities, they can change the way that they treat you. But on the other hand, I've also learned that people who do not want to change, people who are not willing to actually be better, will not change no matter how much you want them to. no matter how much you wait around and be patient, hoping that one day they'll just realize their mistakes and they'll be better, it's not going to happen unless they have that intention to actually change on their own. Mm-hmm. And sadly, I had to realize this the hard way. And honestly, also if you're like in a relationship with a toxic partner and you're just waiting around for years and years for this person to change and they keep saying that they will, but they're not doing anything to actually do it, I'm sorry to say they're not changing. Like, the hard truth is they're going to be the same.
No, they will, you know, but...
They will, but probably but with someone else.
Their changing has no alignment. Yeah, it has no correlation. It has no alignment to the life that you're living, right?
Yeah, it's probably going to happen when they're ready to do it on their own. And that usually happens when it's too late for you guys.
Yeah.
So I'm not even talking about just, you know, relationships with partners. I'm also talking about platonic relationships with friends. I'm talking about parent relationships. But yeah, my advice is that you should not keep waiting around for someone to change, because it's just gonna take a toll on your mental health, and you should not do that.
I think right now, I haven't talked to one of my really like close childhood friends in a long time, and I just think it's because we're going down, you know, two different paths, and that's okay. You know, like, I sometimes I miss him, like, I think about him, but I understand that, you know, for things to grow, like, you gotta go do your own thing a little bit, and whether things come back around or they don't, that space is, you need that space sometimes.
Right.
It's important. But yeah, anyways, yeah, I'm still scared to turn 23. I don't want it to happen.
It's happening soon, though.
I want to stay 22.
Can't stop time.
but I guess our last point is, you know, just talking a little bit about setting goals that are aligned with your age. And I think more so broader.
What are you trying to say?
Like, broad, but broader.
Broader?
Yeah, that, like, then...
No, just say it. Broader.
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 All right.
More
let's
broad.
Think of another word.
Listen, more broad than just, like, setting goals aligned with age. Just something that I think all South Asians can relate to is, like, I feel like our parents just want us to do things really quick, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think taking a semester off of school is forbidden. It's unheard of.
Yeah.
Like, why would you do that if you take a semester off school? Like, I think something that all of us can relate to is our parents want us to do things really quick. And my mom was definitely there. Like, when I could never say, like, I'm taking a semester off of school. And, like, when I told her that, like, I was going, like, part-time for a semester, she would get so pissed at me. Like, why are you doing that? You're failing, blah, 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 this, that, blah, blah, blah. But I think, like, so right now, I'm technically 2 years behind in school. I graduated high school in 2016. Should have gotten my degree, you know, according to, like, traditional college schooling, like, in 4 years. And I should have gotten it by the spring of 2020. It's currently the fall of 2021, and I still have a good amount to go. Probably gonna graduate by summer of 2022, so I'm technically a little over 6 years. But yeah, I'm a tad bit behind, and it makes me sad. You know, part of it is my fault. Part of it was not in my control. Whatever the reasoning is behind it, but I think something that's beautiful is, like, my mom she, like, kind of gets it now, you know? Like,
really?
She obviously doesn't want me to take, like, another 2 years, but, like, it's very comforting to know that, like, you know, my mom told me, she's like, yo, like, you know, like, don't, like, super overload yourself, you know? Like, take your time, like, obviously, like, finish as soon as you can, but, like, you're gonna be okay. I think the reason that she says that goes back to, like, what we talked about, like, two episodes ago, is, like, if I was taking 2 years later in school, but also not doing anything in my life, she would have been like, what the hell is taking so long? But I'm working a full-time job. You know, I'm still taking care of my family, right? I just wrote a book. I paint. I do this podcast. And I'm still growing as a human. And I think with all those things, she understands, like, okay, like, my son does more than school. Like, let me give him some leeway. And I think that's a beautiful mm-hmm. thing. And obviously, it's taken a lot of work to get my mom to see things from that dimension. But I think, like, having that talk with my mom, it really showed me, like, I don't think it's very healthy to set goals based upon your age, right? Not even set goals, like,
mm-hmm.
goals set, like, deadlines, set tasks to do based on your age. I feel like it's very toxic. It can have just, like, a big... Because, for example, like, in my time, like, working at coffee shops, I worked with people that were older than me. And these people that were older than me, they weren't really doing much other than working at the coffee shop. You know, they were making enough money to, like, pay their rent, right? They were, like, people between the ages of, like, 24, 25, 6, 7, making, like, the same amount as me, taking a class, maybe playing, like, a band or something. But when I went into this, I was, like, in my head, I'm, like, why aren't you guys doing more with your life? You know, like, what's, like, this is not okay. You know, you shouldn't be 26 making $10 an hour with tip, in my opinion, right, at the time. But I think now I understand, like, some people are just happy. They're happy doing that. They're happy, like, making some coffee. Like, yeah, like, really, fulfilled. Like, you know, I think that's okay now. At the time, I thought, like, you should be doing more. You're 25. Like, do more with your life. But I totally understand it now. And I'm very happy that I grew up with people that were older than me like that, because it gave me, like, the visualization that, like, in times where, like, I feel like I'm not doing enough, there are people that are taking a little bit longer to get to where they want to get to, you know? And, you know, like, mm-hmm. I introduced one of my really good friends, Imran, to, like, my mom, and my mom loves him, and he's someone who's taking a little bit longer. Like, he's still in school, he's a little bit older than me, and, like, he plays in a band, and he works, and he does all these things, and, like, you know, it's okay. Like, it's okay to take a little bit longer. Like, it's
mm-hmm.
like, don't pressure yourself with the idea that you're getting old. Like, I'm not sure what the demographic of people, like, if we have someone who's 18 or someone who's 30, I feel like, regardless of your age, I don't think it's very healthy to set deadlines based upon that. I think do whatever you want to do when you want to do it. If you want to take some more time, take some more time. If you want to get straight to it, get straight to it.
But I think for us, this is easy to understand and kind of implement. I think the reason that we're always trying to do things quicker and we feel like we're running out of time is because of our parents. And that's, you know, something that they have to fix rather than us, because we're never gonna get out of this mindset unless they also do. So I think it's like
I think I got a little bit lucky that I was able to get my mom to understand that it's okay to not do everything super quick, because I think, like, with everything she's been in her life, she understands that life is long and that a lot can happen in life. So I think I got a little bit lucky with that. But I mean, as for you, like, do you feel like there are still, like, something or some things that your parents pressure you on depending on your age? Like, they want you to get to something really quick, or, you know, how do they feel about that?
Well, first of all, I had to graduate. I didn't have to, but I graduated early, and that still was not good enough. So I feel like, you know, what else do I have to do to really make them proud? But after that, now that I'm 23, this has even started when I was 22. I've never gotten this before in my life, but there was suddenly a pressure to get married later after I graduate from my master's. And I honestly don't want to talk about it that much, but there's this pressure now after I graduate my master's, which is next spring, inshallah.
Mm-hmm.
I have to get married. Or not. I'm not. First of all, I'm not getting married right after that. But I'm saying that now there's this conversation, there's this pressure. And why did that suddenly happen now that I'm in my master's program? Like, I just hate the fact that there's a pressure for girls to get married and do things at a different rate, or do things solely because you're a girl. Mm-hmm. And it's very frustrating, and I wish that same conversation that your mom had with herself about time and being okay with it was passed on to my parents and, like, other people, really, that are experiencing things like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, on the bright side, I'm not getting married anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be okay with it.
Yes, they will.
Yeah, so let's move on to some of the responses that we got on our Instagram. You know, we always open up our topics to our Instagram before we start recording. This time around, we asked our followers what kind of wisdom they learned over the past few years and why they suddenly have thought about it. So yeah. You want to start?
Yeah, if you guys don't already follow us on Instagram at DifficultDish, the same name as the podcast. We're cool like that.
We got it like that.
Got the tag like that. Yes, sir. But anyways, here are some of the responses that we got. We got a good amount. Thank you guys. Thank you to everyone that sends a response. Obviously, we can't get to everyone's every single time. But yeah, we appreciate all you guys. All of you guys. All right. So the first one that I got is goals change and shit happens. Don't limit mm-hmm. yourself to the goals you set for yourself and adapt.
Yeah, I think this also plays a part with one of the advices that you said, where as we grow older, we change and we should always be humble because we're constantly changing and we're different from our past year self, past month self, whatever it is. And I think that, like, it's true. Like, I've always had goals of, you know, being a teacher, being a designer, being an artist, and I'm getting those goals, I'm reaching those dreams, but now I'm getting to a point where it's like, do I want to be a teacher right now? Mm-hmm. I know I want to be one, but it's like, which one's more of a priority for me?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's very relatable with a lot of different things. It's just like, as we grow older, we shouldn't be held accountable to just those goals that we've had from a younger age.
Yeah, I think when, like, my first semester at community college, I was majoring in, like, economics or something. Like, I don't know why. Then I switched to, like, business administration. I switched to, like, a couple different things. I was doing marketing. Now I'm in integrated business. It's like,
oh yeah,
it's like, yo, like,
change my major.
Shit changes, like, and it's so difficult to get our parents to understand that. And I think, like, apart from, like, the school thing, is, like, once you start working, you start realizing what it is you like to work in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, my sister got a degree, like, an engineering degree. She's not doing anything engineering related. Like, she has an amazing role, but it's in a completely different, like, vertebrae of what she studied in. And she has so much potential in what she's doing right now. And she can get herself to, like, a crazy high role if she continues. But yeah, I think it's, man, like, shit changes. Like, you, people grow, mm-hmm. people learn stuff. That goes back to what I was saying. Like, a year from now, I might be into botany, and I might want to just just, like, make plants for my whole
life. You're already, you know, into that,
you know? So it's like, you never know. I might want to be, like, a Michelin star chef.
All right.
Cooking right. up some
with the turkey sandwiches that you make every
buttermilk
day.
Buttermilk chicken tenders, you know? Brand them myself. All right, the next one I got is realizing that some people are temporary in your life for a certain time and reason. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, I think I really like this new saying that I've been implementing in my life, where people are only there for you sometimes for some seasons in your life.
Mm.
And I like that, where sometimes people are there in your life to teach you a lesson. That doesn't mean that they're there for permanent reasons. And yeah, I think a lot of people are stuck to their old friends, their old connections, because they have history with them. But that doesn't always mean that those people are healthy for them, or they should be friends with them just because they have other friends that are with them, or they need them because they're lonely, or whatever the reason is. I think that if they're not really serving a purpose for you anymore, if they're not benefiting you, or they're not growing with you, you shouldn't associate with them as much as you used to, just because your environment has a very big play with how you are as a person. And if you are constantly hanging around people that don't really benefit you in any way, it's gonna just translate into your life. Like, if you're hanging out with a shitty group of people who always does drugs or does not participate in school, always cut school, like, whatever it is, you're probably gonna follow that crowd and you're gonna end up being like that. I've been there, you know, I've been mm-hmm. there where I've turned into the people that I was hanging out with. So what I'm trying to say is just that people are temporary, but that does not mean that they weren't there for an important lesson in your life, and it's okay if they are temporary.
I just be on like my lonelies, you know. I don't even like people no more.
All right, anyway, this man used to go out every single day.
I used to go out every day. Now I don't like I just go get my coffee, I come back home, I go get my empanadas, I come back home, I don't talk to nobody. It's fun, right? You know. But yeah, all right, moving on to our next point. I really like this one. We both really like this one. Forgiving my parents for not being there. They were immigrants who did their best. Yeah, I think on top of the, first of all, like, absolutely, like we both heavily agree with this. I think on top of like the forgiveness part is like, give your parents guidance as well, right? Like, your parents are newborns in this world. Mm-hmm. Same way that they raised you and the way that they taught you how to brush your teeth, like, you have to help guide them. You know, not saying that they're underdeveloped humans or anything, but there are some things that you just got to teach them how to maneuver, right? Like, not even teach. I think there's a difference between teaching and guiding, right? Guiding is like grabbing their hand and just bringing them with you. Like, yo, this is how this works. Like this is how I'm able to make money by doing this. You know, this is how money is made. Like, you're able to make money on Instagram. Like, you're able to make money just by doing anything, right? Like, forgive them for not understanding, but also just grab their hand and help them understand as well, you know. So yeah, our last one, I really like this one. We usually do three. I threw in a fourth one because I like this one.
A little exclusive take.
Get a tattoo. The only things holding me back are Islamic views and guilt. Still getting over them, but it's hard. Boy, oh boy, did you send this over to the right people. If you guys didn't know, me and Mo both have tattoos. We're both Muslim, and we're able to, you know, just express our reasoning behind it. We don't have to, well, obviously don't have to get in depth right now, but I think as for me, you know, there are things that are written about getting tattoos as a Muslim. And I'm definitely happy with expanding on this idea in a further episode. But so the whole basis of Islam, the whole basis of religion is like self-empowerment. It's like self-improvement to build upon yourself. If your tattoo is something that's going to help build you and make you into a better person, I have the word patience tattooed on me. Ever since I've got that, I've been a lot more patient in my life. And it's helped me superbly in my life. If your tattoo like means that much to you, I'm not saying put aside the Islamic reviews. I'm not saying put aside the Islamic views, but understand that like Islam is a supplement to your life, just as this tattoo will be. If it's something that's really gonna help you feel like, get that thing, man. Get that thing, homie. I'm happy to go more in depth on my reasoning further, but I say get it, man.
I'm with you, sister. Where you feel guilty, I still feel guilty about mine. So that piece of advice that this man just gave, it does not.
We got both sides, you know.
We got both sides. You know, the angel and the devil on your shoulders. Whoa. But I do have one, and I do think I have a tattoo. It says "Viva la vida," which means "Live the life." And I think I got this when I was at a very low point in my life, and I had to convince myself to kind of keep going and to always do the things that I've wanted to do and pursue my goals. And also it's after the artist Frida Kahlo, who's my favorite artist, and she had tuberculosis and she was very strong, but she, you know, she tattooed this on her. I mean, she used to say this all the time. So I did this to remind myself of my strength and it does help me at times, but I also still feel very guilty, so I understand your point as well. I don't think I would ever get one again, so this is our...
And I'm getting a lot more, so we got both sides of the spectrum.
Double-edged sword, yep.
Yeah, but if you guys want to hear more about, like, our takes on that, like, we can definitely go more into that. Yeah. But yeah, those are all the questions we got now.
Those weren't questions. Those were just
question things. Those are the four feelings, thoughts.
Feelings, thoughts,
pieces,
right?
Of wording.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing all of your words of wisdom. I hope that our pieces of advice have helped you.
We are
growing older and wiser and stronger, and I hope you guys can learn and grow with us as well. Please follow us.
Whoa, real quick. We got 10-second advice. Go. Real quick. What you got?
Hold on. Let me think about this one. I was not expecting it.
All right. I'll go first. I don't got one either. All right. Mine is apply pressure.
What the hell does that mean?
Apply pressure, right? If you're doing something, apply more pressure. Go harder. If something hurts, right? Apply more pressure. Work through it. Get through it. Apply more pressure. Feel me? You like that one?
No, it's all right.
All right. Go eat some buttermilk bran chicken tenders. Yeah, let me know.
I have to think of my advice.
Real quick.
My piece of advice is that if you're always thinking about doing something, right? If you're always like, okay, this thing is going to make me grow, but there's something holding you back. It's like, for example, I have to move out. It's going to make me grow, but I can't move out because I feel guilty or my parents are home or whatever it is. Or I have to quit school, but I can't because my parents are telling me to, or like whatever it is. If you keep having this thought, just do what your intuition is telling you to do and just move forward with it, because I think that will be the biggest and best decision of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you should just follow through with it and deal with the consequences after, because we're always in that mindset and that fear where we want to do something that will greatly benefit us, but we're always so scared of doing it. And I think we should just take our own life into our hands sometimes and just do it. You know, viva la vida. It comes back to viva la vida. Live the life.
Nice 10-second advice. We love those. You got this thing where, like, I shouldn't even, like, say the 10-second part.
Just say 1-minute advice.
But, like, this whole episode has been advice. So,
all right, fine.
So... All right.
But anyways, thank you so much for listening. Please follow us on Instagram, it's Difficult Dish, and please rate us a 5 on
five
Apple Podcasts
stars,
because we deserve
three,
it.
Not and a 4.
Not a 4. Not a 2. None of
that.
None of that. Give us a good review. Make us look good. And we love you so much.
Yeah. We love you guys. Thank you guys for listening.
I
see you guys
this.
Later. Good afternoon.